Well, we've got Chosen Fever over here, and I am so excited to speak to this next guest. Coming up next, we are speaking with the powerhouse herself, Amber Shayna Williams, who plays the character of Tamar, and I get to sit with her one-on-one to talk to her about what it means to play such a strong, multi-layered character, how The Chosen is fostering inclusion and belonging and telling the stories that need to be told, and also coming out of Black History Month into Women's History Month, what does it mean personally for Amber to play a woman of African descent in the greatest story ever told? Guys, what she has to share is going to not only encourage you, but it's going to inspire you in a deep, deep way. Don't miss out on this incredible episode, available where all podcasts are. You can also stream it in Canada, intothecastle.com, watch it on Yes TV, or in the US, watch it on Roku, Amazon Fire, the Cross TV, Faith TV, Pioneer Network, anywhere streaming is available. Don't miss The Chosen, available in theaters, guys, and I will see you on the path.
You're listening to On the Path Podcast with Cheryl Nemhard, brought to you by Fight for Freedom. Follow Cheryl Nemhard on all social media platforms.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of On the Path. I am so excited. Literally, I am buzzing out of my skin. You can't see it, but it's happening because someone that I have been just admiring for so long is in the building, y'all. I have the privilege of speaking with the one and only Amber Shayna Williams. Shanna Williams. She goes by both. I'm okay. From The One and Only Chosen, she plays the role of Tamar, and I am so excited to have her here. She is a phenomenal actress and being, and I want to welcome you to On the Path. So happy to have you.
Thank you so much, Cheryl, for having me here. I'm so excited to speak with you. I mean, I don't know if you can see me jumping on my skin, but I am too. I'm so honored and definitely appreciative to be here speaking with you today.
Oh, it's such a privilege. Listen, one of the things I think, you know, it's funny because now when we speak about The Chosen, and even in the past interviews I've done, the words are being thrown around of global phenomenon. Like, can you believe it? Can you believe the reaction, the traction, the buy-in that is happening around the globe? It's just, I think Catherine, who plays Mary, and Lazarus were saying, wild. It's wild. What do you attribute that to? Why do you think that is, Amber?
Well, first of all, I absolutely did not expect it when I came on, but being here right now and seeing witnessing everything that I've witnessed up until this point, I can absolutely believe it. That it is. I hear those words all the time, the global phenomenon, and that's exactly what it is. And I think I can attribute that, or that can be attributed to the fact that so many people can identify something about themselves in the series, whether it's a character, whether it's a situation. And honestly, that's just the core of humanity, is wanting to connect to something or someone. And everyone can find that in this show. Even I can find that in this show. There are some times where it almost even felt cruel because I was going through trials and tribulations. And I'm like, we just covered this in previous seasons, and here I am going through it in my own life. But it's also a beautiful lesson to us as well, as how we can push through that and find triumph afterwards.
Yeah, I think another layer too that I've been hearing a lot is that it's the rich storytelling. It's the incredible layers that are being brought, the humanity of it all, us seeing the emotions, the ups, the downs, something that is not necessarily resident in the text of the Bible. So it's bringing it to life in a fresh way. And speaking of stories, I think what I've wanted to know for so long is the story of Amber.
That's a series by itself.
Right? Just in a little snippet, what you're comfortable and feel like you can share, but just tell us a little bit about who Amber is and kind of how she landed here.
Absolutely. And just to touch on what you said, is the series does it paints in color. This is a beautiful way I think I could put that, and Is that what we've learned so much in black and white and gray on paper is now being painted vividly in bright, brilliant colors? And for me, I started out just wanting to do this thing. I think like many artists in my field, we just want to do things that connects with people, that inspires them, that touches them in some way. And I got all of that and more with The Chosen. But honestly, I think so many people can echo these sentiments as I was going through it. I mean, I still have my moments of going through it before the show came along, and I was just kind of keeping my head above water in many ways and aspects. I always wanted to be an actor, but it was kind of like one of those things that when we were raised, it's like, that's cute. Now you need a real job. And so I went to college, got degrees and everything from human resource management. I studied to be a nurse. I did everything I thought I was supposed to do, but this was still like pulling at me. And I had it pretty tough, you know, as a child. It was just being between two families. I think a lot of people can identify with that, is going between your mom and your dad and the conflicts from that and the trauma it leaves on you as a child, and that a lot of us carry into adulthood, and it forms a lot of the decisions that we make. I wanted something different for myself. And I was tired of being told what I couldn't do. And someone really close to me, my grandfather, had right before he passed away, and which was kind of unexpected for us because he was old, he was tough. And he told me, he was like, when are you going to do that acting thing, like, for real? And I was like, Grandpa, you know, I'm about to finish like nursing school, cause I'm going for my second degree. And he's like, you know what? I done fought darn hard enough. You can do whatever it is you want to do with your life. And I was like, yeah, I mean, he was born in 1918. He has fought through everything for me to be able to do what it is I want to do with my life. And then he passed away like a few days later. And after I processed his passing, a relative came to me and repeated his words, and no one else was there. Just me and my grandpa talking about this. And for me, it was a sign. And so I took it from there. I left everything behind. I left everything. I was homeless for a bit. I was in a very toxic, unhealthy marriage that a lot of times people tell you, God loves marriage. God loves marriage. Now you got to stay and work it out. No, God loves marriage that he ordains. You can't just go out and marry whoever you want. And so I had to learn that and release the guilt from that, because I knew that's not what was meant for me. So I left everything behind, no house, no car, no cell phone, no health insurance, no plan for tomorrow. I left it all behind, and I found out I had lupus at the same time. And so now I'm scared I'm going to die in my sleep. And I tell you, when you step out on faith, all the things happen, all the things. When you have nothing left, yes, all the things happen for you. But you have to do what you have to step on faith. You have to release that and give it to God. And that was what was missing in my life. And the thing that made the difference is that I asked for discernment at that time, because I'm like, I see things, but I don't know if it's a sign or just me seeing things. Mm. And I was like, Lord, please give me discernment so that I can understand what you're trying to tell me. And I said, from that, not even a year later, because I had no idea how I even survived during that time. Like, I'm making $300 a month. How am I affording to get this place I'm living in? And how did I get this vehicle I'm driving in, this health insurance? How am I able to go to the doctor and get this? I had to live off EpiPens for like 6 to 8 months because it was just so much. And a year later, I had my own house, my own car. I had health insurance. I had everything that I needed to move forward. And from then I was like, you know what? I'm not questioning anything anymore. And when I realize I'm questioning what the plan is for me, I go back to them and be like, you know what? God has brought me through 100% of the things that I've ever been through. There's no reason why he won't keep bringing me through it. And then fast forward.
Right. And as they say in the church, look what the Lord has done.
He said, look at God. Look at God.
Wow. Wow. I got to ask you, it's not even in my script, but I just know you're good for it. Just please, we need this. What did you learn from that? What was the big message, the aha that came from God through all of that?
Oh, honey, it was trust. It was trust. And it's like, we, especially as women, have this thing we do where we feel the responsibility that we need to carry the weight of the world, not our own, just our own weights, but everyone else in our lives and our family. And it's weighing us down, and we give expectations. We place expectations on ourselves and others. And it's just, we do so much, sometimes too much. And if we just put things down and listen, that we understand that it's okay to just be sometimes. That's what I learned. And I also learned, and I'm still learning because it doesn't stop, is that to get the wine, you got to crush some grapes. Yeah. And God wants you to be the finest wine, vintage.
So good.
To get the olive oil, you have to crush the olives. To get the brilliant diamond, you have to rub friction. That doesn't feel good. Being crushed doesn't feel good, but it's going to make you just so precious afterwards. And that's just something, it's just like you have to keep pushing. And I think we have this trope on us of being a strong, especially strong black woman. Oh, yeah. It can be detrimental to a point. Like, why do I got to be strong? I'm tired. Mm-hmm. He knows. Let him have that. It's okay to be tired. It's okay to be and be guided. I realized that I kept coming up against opposition. I'm like, what's happening? Nothing's working out in my life. Why does this keep happening to me?
Right.
And when I asked for that discernment, I was realizing that all of this opposition was God saying, honey, you're trying to go through a brick wall and you're supposed to turn left.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? It's directional, not oppositional. It's directional. So when you're like, oh, it's time to turn. Lord is telling me it's time to turn here. And that's what I took away from that. I hope others can take that away too.
Amber? we're just going to call up the choir to come at this time. I'm just going to collect the offering. If you could turn your hymnals. Listen, what in the world? Thank you so much for that. So, so needed. I'm going to try to drive and stay focused, but I want to do a Pentecostal lap. That's really what I want to do, but I'm going to calm
down. I know all about that. Okay.
Amber, tell me, how do you relate to the role of Tamar, like in the beginnings of who she is and like as she's progressing with the seasons, do you find any connections there with her?
Absolutely. And what's kind of freaky is that now here we're at season 4 is I feel like, I don't know if it's the writers or it's me. I'm like, hold on. We're kind of bleeding into each other. Where does Tamar end and Amber begin? And I think it's just because we advocate for these characters. Like they become like family members to us. When I first started, she was pretty different for me because I had imposter syndrome and it still hangs on me sometimes, but I'm like, she's bold. Like I wouldn't do all that. What if someone gets mad that I brought all this attention to myself, that I just bust in here through the roof and I'm claiming and demanding and standing and taking up space and owning it. And I was like, I can't see myself doing that. But like, she has taught me so much over the seasons, and what she has done is rub some people the wrong way. And I realized, because she's a woman who's speaking up and owning that space, she's doing no different than Nathaniel, no different than Rhema. But for some reason, she's rubbing people the wrong way. And at first it's like, is it because she's a black woman and they just feel like anytime we're doing anything that we got attitude? I was like, no, it's because it's making them uncomfortable because it's a reflection of their insecurities.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, there's a word there. And so she taught me that it's okay to make people uncomfortable sometimes when you are standing in your own right. Because what she also is, in my opinion, is she holds herself accountable. She's receptive and she's also humble. Like what she does, just like me, is a lot of time I have coped with the trauma in my life by being resilient and strong. Mm-hmm. Right? She's done the same thing. And people don't understand that. Why do you act like that? Why are you so tough? Because I've blown through things I have to. It was a survival mechanism. But what she does differently from a lot of us is she will admit when she is wrong. Yeah. When she had that conversation with Mary, and she initiated that because to her, what was more valuable was that relationship, not her being comfortable. she did what was uncomfortable because of the value she placed in that relationship. Are we okay? A lot of times we don't ask that to people. Then they act funny, so we start acting funny. And then next thing you know, we stop talking. She was like, no, is everything okay? She received. She didn't want to hear necessarily what had to be said, but she received it. She apologized, she processed, and she said, okay, this is how we proceed. And it was just such a lesson. It's such a lesson to all of us.
Listen, this one is so important and it needs to be asked. And I know it's going to be a soundbite that'll get a lot of traction. So, you know, as we sit in the sort of the sunset of Black History Month, and as we look to Women's Month, I got asked this question. We had a big, huge premiere here in Canada, which is where this TV show is. And spoke with Ryan, spoke with Tyler about their joy of building out these strong, multi-layered roles, these female roles, and how fresh and bold a take it was. And the overwhelming response, like you said, but just like their determination to present these women so strong. I gotta know, what does it mean to you to represent a woman of African descent? It's smack dab in the text and the narrative, rolling with the crew, up front and center. What does that mean to Amber?
You know, to me, okay, first of all, it was when I first went on, it didn't register to me who I was, what it meant, what it could mean to other people. But now I see the responsibility that carries. And for me and you, I am sure, we have experienced so much of our lives being the other. And being in rooms where we're the only face that looks like ours, where our stories are only told from a place of pain and trauma. And having this opportunity to play Tamara, a woman of African descent who came from so much but didn't let it define who she was and how she interacted with people, it's such an honor for me. And because I know what that's like. I'm living right now in Spain and it's like tenfold, you know. I have no family, I have no friends here. Other than my chosen family that I've you know, brought into my life since being here. But I also didn't speak the language. And for me, I used to wonder, I'm like, are y'all really writing these? Are these men really writing these women characters? Because they're so fleshed out and so dynamic. And one thing I just love is that, because I say this all the time, is that women, especially Black women, we're not monoliths. We are not just this one thing to be identified. Sometimes we're walking contradictions. And I love how they're able to cover all of that. And for me, being a Black woman, it means so much to me when I get those messages from other Black women saying, Amber, do you know how much it meant to me to see you on TV? Because we've seen these stories of, you know, the savior from out of the womb, and we've never seen ourselves in them. As if we didn't exist. And so it's such a huge responsibility, but also a privilege at the same time to be able to be this representation that is missing so much in the stories of Christ. Because listen, we're going to be at some church, we're going to be stomping, and we're going to be praising. And it's just like, amazing to be able to actually be a representation of what that could have been in first century. And not only that, but, you know, she's a princess, so, like, you know.
Come on, royalty.
And you know what's so funny before I get off of here?
Yes.
Is that the first season, when my first young set was lowering the paralytic through the roof.
Yes.
And Dallas came to me and he's like, they threw me into that in my first episode. Dallas is like, you have impeccable posture. It's like, you stand up so straight. I was like, you know, my daddy made sure I sit up straight. And I was like, well, I feel kind of like a princess. I got on like all these coins and things. He's like, yeah, but you're not. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, and that was it. Two seasons later, they done made Tamara princess. And it just goes to show how you can speak things and they will come to you, and how what you present and what you create for your life will form if you keep doing it. And a lot of people call it fake it till you make it. I don't think it's faking. Do you know what I mean? I don't think it's faking. I think we are embracing what it is. You know what I mean? And so I was just being, and they saw that, and then they put that into the character. And I was incredibly honored at the same time, because he made it clear that's not what she was. But I thought that was just a really cool fun fact to share with you is that and even being a princess, she doesn't act like one, in my opinion. She's like an epitome of servant leadership. Like, yes. She's found her place and she's going to work really hard from where she is. She has a zeal about her, yes, that a lot of us try to conceal to make other people comfortable. And she doesn't do that. Oh. And I want to be more like Tamara. And I always say that if you don't have, everybody needs a friend like Tamara. And if you don't have one, you need to be one.
Well, listen, I got to say this. I'm not going to let this moment pass. Amber Williams, you are a light. You are a force of nature. I've watched you on and off the screen, and how you carry yourself truly is regal, truly is royal. And for the first time ever, myself, my family, my sisters, those that I, you know, speak to and travel are saying they see themselves. They finally see themselves in the narrative. It is changing the game for so many people of color, not just Black, but brown as well, just women in general. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I got a 20-second speed round. Just answer anything. Here we go. Cake or pie, girl?
Cake.
Tea or coffee?
Tea.
Okay. Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Girls night in or girls night out?
In.
There's a whole story there. Okay, I can't go into it. Romance or comedy?
That's a good one. Comedy.
This one's going to cause war, so I'm just going to let you know. I'm really sorry that I did this to you, but Beyonce or Taylor Swift?
Beyonce. I thought it was going to be hard.
It was the look, people. You didn't see it. For those that are listening to the podcast, she was like, girl, please. Amber Williams, you are everything and more that I dreamed it would be. I would love if you would ever consider coming back and asking some bigger spiritual questions.
Absolutely.
You are fresh air in the room. I'm so thankful for you. And thanks for being on The Path.
Thank you for having me, Cheryl. I'm so grateful to be here. Sending you much love, big blessings, and I hope to see you again soon.
Much love, sis. Goodness. Oh my goodness. There are no words to thank Amber for stopping by. Not only did she take the time to speak with me, but she spoke so vulnerably from her heart and actually went over her time with me. She wanted to spend extra time to share all that God's been doing in her life. I am so deeply inspired by her story. I know you were too. And as a woman of African descent, can I just say how proud I am to see the writers of The Chosen displaying diversity in this way. And Tamar, what a strong, powerful, multi-layered character Amber gets to play. I hope that you're enjoying The Chosen as I am, and that you're watching it with your family and friends. It's available in theaters now, guys. And until then, let's keep supporting great, great works like The Chosen, and let's keep living, loving, and learning. I will see you on The Path.
Thank you for listening to On the Path podcast with Cheryl Nemhard, brought to you by Fight for Freedom. This has been an Exousia Media production.